Uju and hello. Welcome to Northern Voices, celebrating ties to Minnesota's Northland. I'm Leah Lem, your host and a fellow Northlands explorer. I've officially lived my first full winter in northern Minnesota, and it wasn't all too bad. I put on ice skates for the first time in many years and managed to stay upright for about 45 minutes. My spouse has spent many Sunday mornings out cross-country skiing, and he's brought our 5-year-old out to give it a try for the very first time. I'll be out there next year, I'm sure. It's not that these things didn't exist when we lived in the Twin Cities, but the number of distractions, and perhaps excuses on my part, were so many that I never seemed to have the time to really enjoy the outdoors. What really excites me about living up north is that I have no more excuses. And though there are many wonderful events and places to visit near home, there are just overall fewer distractions. That fear of missing out, or FOMO for short, now applies to nature. I worry that I'll miss out on the changing seasons or experiencing the hushed environment that is both calming and endlessly mysterious. There are so many ways to appreciate the land and water where we live, and hearing what others do opens my eyes to new possibilities. Through these conversations, I'm learning even more about the traditions, sustainable practices, and the indigenous and ancestral ways of life of my new neighbors. Today, I talk with Frank Bebo. He's an attorney with an incredible depth of knowledge, and he and his wife are water protectors. Frank has inherited a wild rice and smoked whitefish operation from Tim Holm. I make it to the ball club address on the Leech Lake Reservation and pull up to a home with lots of equipment outside. Frank and I sit down and chat.
My name is Frank Bebo. We're in ball club at Tim Holm's old place where the wild rice plant and smoked whitefish operation for ball club is.
Tim Holm, I learn, was famous for his smoked whitefish. He was also enrolled at Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. Frank took over the operation when Tim passed away.
It's inherited, which is good, because I don't know if I could have figured it out. Because when Tim died and I ended up with this, there was a little few more questions I would have liked to have asked. Fortunately, Spencer was his right-hand person who did a lot of his construction and maintenance on equipment. So actually, I got the same right-hand person helping me.
And Frank is indeed carrying on Tim's operation, honoring the original process and recipe. Frank is a wealth of information on treaty rights. He highlights the significance of not just land rights, but water rights as well.
Wild rice and fish are probably number one and two of what they would call our primary treaty foods for the Chippewa or the Ojibwe. As I've looked through some of the historical journals and things, Flatmouth, who's from Leech Lake and was one of the chiefs at the 37 Treaty as well as the 55 Treaty and other treaty sessions, he spoke clearly that we have to reserve our ability to access the lakes and rivers because we need the fish, we need the maple syrup, and we need to get our livelihood from that place. And so in the truest sense, water rights may be more important than land rights because really most of the bounty comes from the rivers.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I'm glad Frank shares his wisdom. We switch gears, and Frank tells me a bit more about the original success of the smoked whitefish operation.
Doing it, but he developed that in the backyard and put that out there on Highway 2. And that fish, I don't want to say it's world-renowned, but because he was on Highway 2 for several decades, there are people who have traveled east and west, coast to coast, who know about this fish. And they will tell you stories. One of the people here in Ball Club started smoking fish and selling it in Deer River, trying to like cut off Tim's traffic a little bit, you know. Another person over in Bena was doing the same thing. They were selling smoked whitefish over at the Standard over there. And people would come over and they'd say, is this Tim's fish? Because everybody's fish is a little bit different. And I like Tim's fish.
We set out to visit the building that houses the wild rice and smoked whitefish operation. It was a small struggle to get the door open, since it's still pretty darn icy outside.
Okay. So yeah, Tim really did a good job of improving the way everything operated around here, but because he only had to take care of Tim and he wanted to enjoy some of his earnings, there were things that he didn't do. Yeah.
Hear that thump? I was welcomed by a big blast of falling snow overhead. All my equipment got covered in snow, so you can probably hear me try to clean it off quickly. So, where were we? Tim had done some improvements to the operation. And now Frank?
You know, and so I've done a little bit of modifying. I'm going to try to do a little bit more. But if you're going to work out here in the wintertime in the night, and we don't always do it, but I had to hook up a light over here. And it's goofy, but all Tim had in here were these fluorescent lights. I can turn them on, and you'll see it doesn't do much. But this new LCD light, it's like daylight. And so I can clean fish. You know, I got the little pump over here underneath here.
Frank summarizes how he's made the place suitable to his needs, with a few extra comforts, including a bit more heat for those cold days.
Warm in there. I got my little heater in there. You can feel it.
I ask Frank about the process of preparing and smoking the famous fish, and he's happy to show me, while keeping certain secrets safe.
And so I cut them into steaks that are probably 3 or 4 inches long, and then once they've been cleaned and, you know, out there, we have our buckets that we put our brine in, and we soak them overnight for about 12, a little bit more hours, and then you take them out and you lay them back out, let them dry off a little bit. You get the fire starter set, just that pile of firewood without lighting it. You do one batch at a time, and you cut their heads off, no heads, no fins, and then we got the recipe, and it's real simple.
The recipe might be simple, but the entire process is also very precise, down to the exact volume of kindling, so the fish are smoked for just the right amount of time necessary. I walk with Frank right outside the building to the smokers.
And these guys had it so programmed that as long as it's like above 20 degrees, you can close this up, and the fire, let's see here, the fire that you make down here, you make it out of kindling, and you make it probably about as big around as a basketball, maybe a big bread box, and you put it in there, and that's just the right amount to smoke just this amount of fish. And if you start it with like a little butane torch, instead of fuel or matches and wait for it to go, you start it with a butane torch. It doesn't take very long, and you get a uniform fire across the front. It takes about an hour to an hour and a half to burn through the wood, and the fish is done. So you could never burn them because you don't have too much firewood in there. These guys had it figured out. They were doing it for so long.
And finally, Frank introduces me to the stars of the show, the fish. The fish come in many sizes, so I learned that it's important to find a good source. Frank opens up one of the many freezers so I can take a look.
You know, that was one of the ones that I got from Red Lake there. It already had its head cut off and stuff. But that's probably a 5 or 6 pound whitefish when it started out. And that's what most of these are. You can see where they're similar size.
And those sizes may vary. Frank imparts a final fun fact about the fish.
And that was, someone did some art for Tim. Their head stays the same size, it seems like. And just their body grows. It is funny how it is. I would have never believed it until you start looking at a bunch of whitefish. Yeah. The things you learn about nature. You know, that you wouldn't notice, you wouldn't pay enough attention to.
So, no, I definitely would not have noticed that. But when Frank points out the head sizes on some smaller and bigger fish, you know what? I see what he sees. And it makes me think about how I can stop and take more time to notice details about nature, my surroundings, and the people in my life. While we wind down our conversation, I stomp the snow off my boots and shake the rest out of my hair. I help Frank lock up and think about how Tim's fish provided for the community, and still does. And I hope to give back to my new community that has been so inviting. Chimigwech, Frank, for welcoming me to Ball Club and teaching me about the work you do. I'm Leah Lem. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Northern Voices. Northern Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Musical Flourishes, brought to you by Sam Miltich. Continued Guidance and a Second Set of Ears by Aaron Warhol. Gigawabamin, and see you soon.